You're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. It's more fun to believe.
Third year bonus.
Welcome to the program. Hi, my name is Ryan Singer. Thank you for being with me here for another third year bonus. Today, we're going to discuss my most recent trip to Posttown Elementary School, which happened this past Sunday. Sorry about the lack of episodes that have come out in the last week and a half. I was traveling and I didn't have my gear with me. So we just kind of, you know, we took a week and a half vacation, so to speak. I mean, where can I even start? I'm wearing a Matthew Jackson Paraholic t-shirt right now. My addiction isn't normal, it's paranormal. Great t-shirt. Thank you, Matt. I'm going to post some photos on Instagram. I got home basically about 24 hours ago, and I had this delightful care package waiting for me from my buddy Torkel from October Publishing with some t-shirts. Oh, man, these t-shirts are so cool. He was making some t-shirts, so he printed off a couple extra random t-shirts for me. I can't wait to show you those. I've got more Torkel t-shirts than more October Publishing t-shirts than I think I do of any other t-shirt right now. So thank you, dear friend, for sending me that care package. Much appreciated. Check out October Publishing on Instagram for all your publishing needs. Small scale, big scale, medium scale, t-shirts, magazines, newsletters, whatever you want to do. October Publishing has got you covered. So thanks again for that. I really do appreciate it. I love getting new t-shirts, man. I love getting free stuff, I guess. I mean, but actually, you know, when you get free stuff that you really enjoy, that you will wear, it's a whole nother ball game. I don't even really want to talk about ball games right now. Baseball is in a lockout. The greed of the owners has driven my favorite sport to a standstill. The long, cold winter continues. So let's hope that the owners of Major League Baseball teams will finally agree to wage increases across the board for their employees, for their players. Their profits have skyrocketed in 5 years and the player salaries have not. People say, well, there's a bunch of millionaires in baseball. Yeah, there are. And there are exponentially more minor league players who are working three jobs just to try to put food on the table, pay their rent, and Major League Baseball players as well who contribute at a high level to making the owners rich, who their minimum salary hasn't increased in quite some time. So they're, you know, you're talking about the 1% of baseball players when you talk about the rich, the super, super rich ones. So of like the multi-hundred-million-dollar contracts. Anyway, we don't need to talk about baseball. I'm pretty upset about baseball. I mean, that door just opened right behind me. What the fuck was that? You saw that, right? I just closed that door, so I'm sure it's a draft. Unless there's a Ouija board in that fucking closet. That's the problem, right? That's where my Ouija board is, man. We're not even 5 minutes in and I'm creeped out in my own house. This isn't good. I had a conversation today with someone who, it was totally unrelated to the paranormal. It was some work stuff, and they told me about growing up in a haunted house. And they're not growing up in a haunted house. They and their partner had, their spouse had purchased a home, and, you know, very quickly realized that they would be selling the home, and got out of the house, and have been better for it ever since. So, wow, that's something that's interesting. If you live in a haunted house and you don't have the means or the resources to get out of that living situation, what do you do? Are you stuck in a haunted place? That, because here's my opinion about what home should be. Home should be where I can be and I can get away from it all. Now, ironically, I work from home 50% of the time when I'm not on the road doing comedy shows or out at night doing shows here in town. And so do I ever really get away from work? I mean, I'll be laying in bed just thinking to myself, I should be I should be doing something else, right? I should be working right now. I should be reading. I should be writing. I should be recording. I should be filming. I should be blah, blah, blah. You know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, not to mention the app on top of all. If that door closes, I'm moving out of this apartment ASAP. And I hope my girlfriend agrees. Although maybe I should just live here and document the phenomenon. No, I'm not going to do that. This is where I live. I want to just be chill and be relaxed constantly. Anyway, so we're talking about post time. I mean, what a great segue into, you know, hauntings and such. The guy who is the caretaker of Post Town, I mean, I can't imagine living there, but, you know, talk about a, you know, I don't want to say like a loaded gun, but I mean, talk about just like an intense spot to lay your head, to get all your rest and to recharge. Cause that's what home should be for me. You know, that's what I love about being home sometimes is it's where I can just kind of, every once in a while I do stutter and there's nothing wrong with it. Every once in a while I relax and I rest. And I think the most interesting people in the world probably stutter. That's just me trying to put some positive spin on me unable to speak in the moment. So anyway, Post Town Elementary School, went back there with Matthew Jackson of Paraholics, went back with Karen Rontowski, Paranormal Karen. That's the podcast. You know it. You love it. You listen to it, I'm sure. What a delight it was to go back to that location. I specifically went back only to do the investigation and filming to the Midwest. And so that's all I did while I was there. And we had one night in the school. And I think I've been laying out to some degree the potential theories and the ideas of what I feel like might be happening or what we may have started when we went there in October and then followed up again in December. I went there solo, piggybacked onto Eric Connor's experiment or investigation. Excuse me, I had a little burp. I'm drinking the bubbly waters. And so I wanted to go back this time with very specific questions and a point of view to see if we could get confirmation of some of these ideas that have been bouncing around my head while I read Real Magic by Dr. Dean Radin. I'll probably finish that book hopefully in the next 24 hours. I think I fell behind my book count per month. I'm trying to read at least 3 books each month. I'm not sure I got 3 done in February. It's a short month. So technically this would be the 31st of February maybe. So maybe I cut myself a break. So maybe I should read 2.85 books in the month of February. Rationalization isn't that hard if you know a little bit of math. If you have some basic math skills, you can pretty much rationalize anything. Is that irrational? Is that an irrational number or is that a rational number? I don't know. It might be an imaginary number. Let's not talk about that. I'm not a mathematician. I never enjoyed math, even though I score higher on it than I do like English, at least on those standardized testings. I always scored higher for some reason on mathematics than I did. I don't know. I think maybe because I'm lazy and I don't want to write a full answer out of when it comes to the English questions. And I'm just like, okay, you get the point. School is never my bag necessarily. I love a library though. Get me into a library, I'll spend a week in a library. I love a library. Libraries are beautiful. Support your local library and whatever that means. So, went back to Post Town, had some very specific questions. As you know, the premise of this whole investigation is consciousness ties together all paranormal phenomena. And what I've come to believe, or at least seemingly believe at this time, is that the tool to access consciousness in certain ways to make connections to all these different paranormal phenomena that are connected through consciousness, the tool to tap into the consciousness in a more advanced way, in very specific ways, potentially one of the ways is through occult knowledge and everything that encompasses occult knowledge, whether that's ritual or whatever else. It seems to kind of make sense. Now, you might be listening to this for the first time ever and thinking to yourself, wait, you just said it seems to make sense. What does that even mean? Well, you know, that's a loaded question. But it's a very loaded statement that I'm making. But occult knowledge throughout history has been hidden or underneath, or you have to kind of seek it out. Not even kind of. You definitely have to seek out occult knowledge. Now, this is a lot different than the DYOR scene, the do your own research scene. Paranormal is DYOR. It is, you know, from the floor to the roof, it's do your own research, right? And you have to, you know, take it upon yourself if you're looking for answers more than just in a casual way. You have to go out and find the books or go to locations. You have to fail over and over and over and over and over again. And that's what makes the success so sweet, when you have these moments of success. I think that encapsulates a paranormal investigation pretty good for me. You'll sit there for, you know, 9-10 hours, and maybe you don't get much of anything really, but it's those, you know, those 15 minutes that are spread out through that investigation of 9 hours, where you just kind of, you go to Bonk City, you know what I mean? It's bonkers, and you are a full-fledged citizen of Bonk City now. You got your ID made, you know, you've got a certificate hanging on the wall. I'm a proud owner of property in Bonk City. And that's where I am. I'm not the mayor of Bonk City, but, you know, I do show up to the town hall meetings. That's for sure in Bonk City. You know, you see the scene, right? Bonk City town hall and open microphone. Can you imagine what happens at the open microphone at a Bonk City town hall? Anything that's bonkers happens there. Okay. It's built into the name. I think we understand the idea, the premise, Ryan. Bonk City, a new cartoon coming this fall from a resident of Bonk City, Ryan Singer. I wonder if Gronkowski, if Gronk would be a character in Bonk City cartoon. Okay. I can get easily distracted. So we go to post on. I have some very specific questions. Due to my research and due to the timeliness of reading certain books and just the time of the year when we were initially there and we were trying to make contact with extraterrestrial intelligence or entities amongst everything else that's happening at Post Town, I had a sneaking suspicion of the suspects that we may have been chatting with. And I think this is where the paranormal investigation gets really exciting. It's when you kind of, you dig into what happened and you, to be very clear, you manufacture connections. I am manufacturing connections based on my personal bias, the things I'm reading, the things that I believe, and the things that happened. Someone else could be looking at all of this footage, listening to all this audio that I'm going through, and thinking to themselves, an entirely different story is unfolding. That's what I mean by I'm bringing all my personal biases, you know, preferences, knowledge, experiences, etc. And I'm framing the evidence, which is neutral in its own beautiful way. And now I'm taking these neutral pieces of this puzzle and I'm putting them together in the shape that I believe that they fit. And these puzzles change for everyone. I think that is so fascinating to me, that we could have the exact same puzzle pieces cut in the exact same way. And when we put them together, different people, they show us a different photo. They show us a different image, a different landscape. But yet they're the exact same puzzle pieces. It's perception. And it is your point of view, and it is your experience and your biases and everything else that comes into it that shapes the image that you ultimately put together. And will the puzzle ever be finished? Probably not. Such is the nature of loving the paranormal. No puzzle ever finished, but we don't put them back in the box and give up, do we? We just stare at the beautifulness of an unfinished puzzle, and we hope people later can come by potentially after we're done and keep putting more pieces together and then maybe even change the image altogether. Who knows? So the usual suspects. I thought Procyon was the star in the sky that I was shooting. Excuse me. Wow, that came out of nowhere. I was shooting my laser beam at, which sounds pretty nefarious, I guess. I was shooting a laser beam at Procyon trying to destroy a star system. No, I'm not, I'm not the Romulans trying to destroy Mars. Have you watched Star Trek Picard? I just started watching it. Beautiful stuff. It's on Paramount Plus. But there's commercials. Why am I paying $10 a month or whatever it is for something, and I'm still getting commercials? Commercials have just always bothered me, deeply bothered me. Let's pause real quick here for a commercial break. No, I'm just kidding. Well, maybe there is one here. Who knows? Big news about the Mindcast coming up in the near future as well, but not the time or the place for it right now. So, Procyon. I had questions for Procyon. I had questions, that might sound silly. You're going to ask a star questions? Not necessarily, no. I was asking questions framed along the details. Is that even a phrase that even works? Framed along the details. Questions that were referencing Procyon to see if anything would communicate with us and give us acknowledgement and confirmation that Procyon was indeed an origin point or a transient point, a temporary location where they may have been previously when, anything from that general idea of Procyon. Cut to doing some investigation. And I guess I can tell you about it because you can't see. You'll be able to see it in the footage once the documentary series comes out. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a series, not just one movie. But update on that. I just got a hard drive back from a friend of mine, a mutual friend of mine, who did a lot of audio video syncing for me, which, I mean, talk about a lifesaver. So now I've got all the footage from the original investigation, the first 2 days. Audio video synced when there was separate audio and video, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to make my life editing this thing a whole lot easier. The point is, asking questions about Procyon, asking if anything from Procyon, around Procyon, hey, have you even heard of Procyon? Do you know Procyon? Did you go to a school with a star named Procyon when you were younger? Because I swear we both know Procyon. Nothing necessarily comes back from Procyon. Is that the end of the story? Hell no. Procyon, at the time in October, was in the eastern sky. What else is in the eastern sky, roughly? The eastern, southeast, east, eastern, south sky? Because I don't want to say southeastern because it was more eastern than south, but you don't say eastern south, you say southeastern. In the southeastern sky, one of the greatest and most famous of all stars, Sirius, the dog star. Rich in ufology lore, as far as contact with entities between human beings, with human beings, from the Sirius star system, the dog star. Sirius is more in our life than we realize. It's everywhere in references to it. I think it's Canis Major. And Canis Minor, I believe, is Procyon. If I'm not mistaken, maybe it's not. Interestingly, the Pleiades star system also in the general neighborhood of all that at the same time. So I had three main suspects. Procyon was suspect number one. Pleiades was, two, and Sirius was maybe 2B. Well, without giving away the goose and the gander, if that's even something we can say. I mean, I do like mixing up old colloquialisms. I do like mixing up old colloquialisms just for fun. So I'm not going to give you the whole goose and the gander, but so does the cow, so does the udder. Anyway, so I am confident, and this is after reviewing the footage later yesterday, after downloading onto some from, getting from the, that's my biggest concern too, that the files and the footage and the audio and stuff won't transfer. That's always my biggest fear when it comes to capturing something amazing on camera. And we've captured a few different pretty amazing moments so far. Like, when I say pretty amazing moments, I mean like ones that made me like exclaim, you know. And we got one of those, and it wasn't Procyon, but I'll tell you what, it is. There was no doubt in my mind that we had confirmation that we are communicating. We were communicating, and specifically the question was about who were we communicating with the first time. These devices are dead silent. There's no beeps. There's barely any little blips on the device, on the lights. No noise happening. All of a sudden, it goes bonk city at the exact time I asked a very specific question about one of those suspects. And boy, oh boy, does that get you going. So what we have here is we have a conversation that I was suspicious at the very least. Talk about a high level of suspicion that we had introduced ourselves and got an introduction from something or someone the first time. The second time I went to Post Town, didn't follow up really on any of this stuff because I hadn't really had a chance to go through the footage and understand all the breadcrumbs that had been laid out. This third time, very specific questions, and I believe this same intelligence, the same entity, energy, whatever, gave us confirmation and began the conversation. Now the conversation is open. Wow. And I've got some theories I want to talk about here in a few minutes regarding continuing that conversation. What does that even look like and what does that even mean? Later that night, Matthew Jackson and I, Karen has been moving across the country. So she didn't stay all night. Matthew Jackson and I are doing a different session. And he's got all of these amazing gadgets. He's got, kind of a spirit box, derived from the original Frank's box. And this one we had never used before was made, it was encased in the wood from an insane asylum. That was a wild one. And then we were using like a boombox that had reverse audio. So it would scan like an SP7, but then it would spit out the audio for you to hear in reverse. And we received, dare I say, astounding answers at one point for a very specific voice that was coming through and a very specific voice that we requested was allowed to come through more to have the other voices kind of subside into the background. And then that voice starts talking a bunch. That in itself is compelling. Now, what this voice said, we believe, and I've looked at the footage, and I don't want to apologize in advance because it's compelling stuff, but there was just two of us. We didn't have a sound guy there, didn't have a film crew. So the audio is from like iPhone and handycams. But trust me, none of that shit matters when you're getting compelling material, right? In my opinion, I know with podcasting, it can really take you out of it. But let me ask you this question. Would you not listen to a podcast episode if someone was actually interviewing and beyond the shadow of a doubt, guaranteed, 100% they were interviewing, an extraterrestrial, and you knew that, and that was not in dispute at all. Would you not listen to that interview because they didn't have great microphones? Because it was recorded on a laptop microphone, so there was like background noise. No, you dare I speak on your behalf and say you would listen to. Would you not listen to that? Of course you would listen to that because it's compelling, intriguing, must listen kind of stuff. I'm not saying this was a conversation with an alien, but I am. I will let you decide the validity of that statement. But then Matthew and I got some answers. We got some statements, which led to some answers or questions, which then were answered. I mean, we're going from Procyon, we're going from, you know, Pleiades, Sirius, the dog star, and now we're going to Ra, ancient god of the sun, ancient sun god of Egypt. Like, what are the implications of such a thing? I don't even know where to begin. And because I'm going to be putting this stuff in the actual episodes of the documentary, I shudder to think that I should include it here. Maybe on Patreon, I'll put some stuff there at those, you know, some of the new levels that I've added. Patreon.com/Ryan Singer. You want some of that stuff, potentially. I've posted some stuff related to the documentary there already. So you can check out the Patreon.com page. Thank you to the patrons. We just had the first of the month, so you were charged. Every first of the month, you get charged. So thank you to all the patrons who support the show and support me. I appreciate that. That Patreon money actually helped fund my trip to go back, and it helps fund me being able to pay these people who are, you know, syncing audio and video for me and helping me with editing work and et cetera and filming. You know, we had a mutual friend set me up with a camera guy, a filmmaker named Chance, who came out and filmed some sit-down interview stuff with us before we did the investigation this past Sunday. You know, I try my damnedest to pay the production crews of you know, these things. So, you know, at some point I'll be able to pay the investigators that want to come out as well. So, what am I getting at? Well, I'll tell you what I'm getting at, I guess. I'll tell you what I'm getting at. Why are we repeating everything twice? Or did you repeat everything? Don't finish yet. It's this thing. It has to, like, I just have to. You ever do a thing where, like, you hear a word and you just impulsively have to rhyme that word with every letter in the alphabet, every letter in the alphabet? Like bulk, aok, bulk, kolk, dolk, folk, olk. Okay, we're not going to do that. I've done that. You know, 8 years, I'm sure I've brought this up before. I mean, how many idiosyncrasies? Don't say it too many times. It's lost all meaning. Can you keep under the vest after talking for all of these hours into a microphone that has been recorded and broadcast to the world, or to the very small world that might be the audience of this program? I'm like the Conan O'Brien of, well, see, you're going to know Conan O'Brien for what he's achieved. When Conan O'Brien first started, a running joke on his show for the first few years, at least during his opening monologue, was how nobody was watching the show. So very endearing. It was a very endearing thing. So two different investigations yielded what I would consider to be, you know, pretty wow moments. One of them really wow, and the other one was wow. Which kind of shows me that this investigation is only getting started in some aspects, even though it's been happening for 5 months, 4 or 5 months. And not to mention the times I was in there before and crazy shit happened, just stopping by to say hi and check out the space. Post Town does not disappoint. And I'll tell you, if you want to go there, go to the website. I think it's hauntedohioschool.com. And you can just check the calendar and see if it's open. You send an email, boom, you can pay some money and rent the spot. You can stay overnight. They even have beds. They have a room with like a bunch of beds and stuff that you can even for an additional cost if you don't want to get a hotel. I've got family close by, half hour away, so I just kind of do that. I don't know if I'm sleeping there, man. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I don't think I'm sleeping in Post Town. I mean, I could try to sleep there. Would I even get to sleep? Who knows? This leads me to the next part of this. And that's, how does this conversation continue? how does the investigation unfold from here? And I think one of the beautiful things about paranormal investigations, and I think you can point to Hellier as one of the quintessential examples of a paranormal investigation that was extremely well done, well executed, well made, and visually presented in a stunningly beautiful way. You know, it takes a village, right? And I've been bringing in other people, you know, have bounced in and out of this whole thing. And for me, that's the vision I have for my future paranormal investigations and the future in what I envision for, you know, producing content to be consumed, whether on television or the internet, when it comes to paranormal investigations. It is showcasing the paranormal investigators that are out there that are just doing it like every day. You know what I mean? Like they're the house team somewhere. These are the people that, you know, are really getting their claws, so to speak, into a location. And, you know, and with that comes certain biases, et cetera, and you can be kind of led in what you might be expecting to encounter or who you might be expecting to have a conversation with. And with that comes, you know, its own trappings. But I think if you go in with an open mind, you never know what you're going to get. And so my vision for the future of paranormal television, at least paranormal television that I'm going to be producing or being a part of, et cetera, is the inclusion aspect of house teams and investigators everywhere. There are so many paranormal investigators that are not on television who are doing amazing things and are really, really fun to go do investigations with and are fun to be around just as people. And I know that the paranormal world, you know, by many people's accounts, can be pretty catty, as they say. You know, like cats fighting over scraps. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm not interested in trying to tear other people down to prop myself up in that way. And, you know, there's billions of people have lived and died on this planet. I think there's enough ghosts for everybody. And the universe potentially is quite limitless. So I think there's probably enough ETs to communicate with as well. So, you know, I don't feel like I've got to hide this, got to keep this place to myself, got to keep this technique to myself. Collaboration, I think, is what I'm getting at. A very long-winded way to say, I dig collaboration. I got this new character. Hey, I'm Cody Kenny. I'm a country music star. Cody and Joni. I'm going to be doing some videos with Cody and Joni soon. I just have to figure that out. Who's Joni? You'll find out soon enough, I suppose, if we get around to it. The idea of collaboration during paranormal investigations is nothing new to the world of the paranormal. And many people already do it. And many people thrive in doing so. The one problem I have is that they're seldom are they showcased on these programs with a paranormal team traveling around. Now, you don't want to have too many cooks in the kitchen. That can be a problem. I've been on investigations where I overestimated my ability to kind of have different groups doing different things at the same time and still kind of capturing it all and still kind of all being on the same page. I think anyone who's done a paranormal investigation knows that it can be difficult when you hit a certain number. It seems to kind of like turn into a little bit of chaos, which sometimes can be good for the energy of the space to stir up activity. Other times, you know, like there was just three of us this past time. And then, you know, for half the time, there was just two of us after Karen left. And it was just Matthew and I. And that was, you know, that's when like the wow moments happened. Because I think there wasn't 30 people in there, you know, doing something, even though that's very compelling when there's a lot of witnesses to confirm that they all heard the same thing. That is, I mean, I don't know if you get better than that when it comes to evidence and being able to like, we've got confirmation from 15 people here. This 100% happened. So, because there's always going to be a couple people who are like, well, could it have been this? Could it have been this? Could it have been this? And so you got to go through those debunk steps when you're in Bonk City, because you know, the path to Bonk City is paved by the debunk steps. You got to climb the debunk steps to really know that you're truly in Bonk City, right? So I love the idea of future collaborations with paranormal investigators I've never even met yet. That's exciting to me. I also love the idea of investigating with, you know, my buddies who I do most of my investigation stuff with for the most part. And a few of them were at Post Town the first time. So where does this conversation happen? Here's the big insight I had. I had a phone conversation with Karen Rontowski at the end of the investigation. After Matthew had left, he had a few hours to get in the car and drive home. So we didn't stay like overnight at the location. We'd been going at it pretty much all day for roughly about 9 or 10 hours, which is a solid investigation. I think most people would agree. And while we were talking, I was explaining to her what had happened after she left. And it just kind of spit out of my mouth that I don't think I need to be in Post Town. My computer's dying. Hold on. Let me plug this in so we don't lose all this. It occurred to me I don't have to be in Post Town to continue this conversation. Now, that seems counterintuitive to me in some ways, but it resonates deeply with me that it's true. Now, Post Town is a very excellent, supercharged location, high levels of activity. So doing and continuing the investigation at Post Town is like being able to use a satellite phone anywhere in the world. You're going to get service. Trying to do it at other places, it might be, you know, you might be using T-Mobile or whoever your phone carrier is that has shitty service, spotty service from time to time when you're on the desert in the mountains. So I think that's the challenge. But this ongoing investigation that I'm calling the bridge is not centralized to Post Town Elementary School, even though that's where it started. And I do plan on going back to Post Town time and time again, if at all possible, to continue investigating there and continuing aspects of this specific investigation. But I am completely aware of the idea that this investigation is not bound, is not betrothed to that location, which is very exciting, which means I could technically be doing this stuff in my living room. And my girlfriend is out of town right now, and I'm not going to start doing that. Like I said, this is my house. I'm not going to open that can of worms, even though that door holding my Ouija board opened up. And now I'm having this thought, and now I'm like, should I do the Ouija board by myself here tonight? Try to talk to Ra? Not going to do that. I can, with 99% certainty, tell you that I'm not going to do that. But so this investigation is not going to be bound to that location, which is something I'm very excited about. For me, I don't know next steps specifically because I'm trying to figure out how to wrap my brain around the ongoing editing project of the actual footage, which I've been working on and made huge progress. And I'm very excited to be releasing that. The plan is to be releasing the first episode at the same time that the stand-up comedy special filmed at Post Town Elementary School will be released, whether that's self-released or through a streaming platform. I don't know the answer to that yet. But when that happens, that's when the docuseries is going to also be birthed into the world as a companion piece, right? That was the vision from the beginning, and I really want to see that through. Now, just speaking off the top of my head here, and I may regret these words. Frankly, I'm not going to remember saying them, but I probably will now that I said that. But I think this investigation goes outside, and I don't love that. I don't love that I just said that out loud, and I'm not even sure I knew I was going to say that out loud until the words were out of my mouth in physical form, and I was staring at them like, what have you done? I'm not sure that the indoors is where this investigation continues, at least in the interim. In the interim, I believe I'm going to be, I think we're going to be going outside. 100%. I feel like, sorry, I'm just trying to make sure I didn't stop recording because I fudged with something. No, we're still recording. Okay, good. This investigation goes outside. And, well, it's obviously going to be a hybrid, but I do think it's going to, you know, part of this investigation, let me say it like that so I don't look like an idiot. Part of this investigation goes outside. And those locations are undetermined at this time, but they could be literally anywhere. I don't feel like I have to be at a certain location anchored down for this investigation to continue, for this conversation to continue with what I believe is entities from the star system Sirius, maybe even possibly still Procyon or the Pleiades, a star system where, you know, it's crazy to think that you may have had Ra come through a device. When asked where they were from, Cosmos came through. So that's a very compelling answer when you ask God where they're from and they say Cosmos. It's just kind of bonkers. It's bonk city, right? So it's very, very, very exciting. What does it mean? I have no clue. Where does it go? I have no idea. It is completely beyond me, literally and figuratively. But I believe that the consciousness aspect that ties all of these paranormal phenomena together is going to start rearing its beautiful head soon. And I believe it kind of already has. So, if you've got suggestions for places that you think this should go, I'd love to hear them, because I can't tell you how many times I've been so pleasantly surprised by someone who listens to the program will message me something that did not occur to me that I had no idea about, or maybe something that I had said and completely forgotten, because these 30 year bonuses, I mean, for better or for worse, right? They are just stream of consciousness. I usually have an idea. I know what I'm going to be talking about most of the time. Sometimes I'm honestly just like, let's see what happens. And I know that's like probably driving certain, you know, production minded people kind of a little bit crazy, but and some people may want more form in their content to where they could break it down into like, well, this is the table of contents of the last 30-year bonus. And chapter one, Ryan discussed these things. Chapter two, et cetera, et cetera. That's not who I am. I'm a Cancer sign. I'm on the float. I'm a floater. I'm a floater. That's what my girlfriend said to me. She's like, you're a floater. And I was like, wait, are you calling me a piece of shit? Because a float is actually healthy. You want your poop to... No, you don't want your poop to float. Either you want your poop to float or you don't want your poop to float. And one of them's a sign that you may be sick. You probably don't want it floating. I don't know. I'm not a gastroenterologist. Although I have to see one again at some point in the future. That's just what happens when you get older. If you have suggestions about where you think the bridge, this ongoing investigation of the consciousness that connects all paranormal phenomena, if you have an idea of where this, if like, you know, let's say you have a spirit guide or, you know, something that you consult with, a spirit or energy or a source or et cetera, and it is strongly, it's like screaming in your ear right now, tell Ryan he has to go to blah, 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 blah. I hope you reach out and tell me that, because I'd be interested to hear that, because I can't tell you how many times I've been so pleasantly surprised by things from listeners, from you. And it has led to some wonderful discoveries, whether it's like been books that have been suggested that I've ended up reading or other things. So I'd appreciate that. So you can hit me up at Rising on Instagram. You can hit me and Paranormal You on Instagram, or me Paranormal You on Twitter. You know, I'm also in the Facebook, although I don't check that nearly as often. as say Instagram, Ryan Singer Comedy on TikTok. I'll be posting some more videos there as well. Mostly characters, but I throw in some paranormal clips from time to time, just like some very small snippets of investigation stuff are on there as well. All that to say, I've got some ideas on where this investigation is going to be taking me physically, like location-wise. I don't want to talk about that yet. I don't feel comfortable, getting too far ahead of myself, which is something that I am prone to do oftentimes. My excitement overtakes me often, and I'm like a puppy. I'm like a puppy, you know? I'm excited like a puppy. I'm a puppy. And so I don't want to go there yet, because there's still so much to do with what we've already accumulated. I haven't even gone through the December footage when I was there with Eric. And I haven't really gone through, like, in a meaningful way, the footage that from this past Sunday. So, but needless to say that it's all very thrilling. It's all very exciting. I'm very pleased with the way this is kind of coming together and turning out. And it's all very surprising, on top of everything, on top of everything else. I've been surprised by a lot. I'm surprised that we're going this way with the investigation, quite frankly. I'm still looking for the occult and Bigfoot connections. Funnily enough, and I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to continue to say it. Funnily enough, last night, late night, can't sleep. I'm in the house alone. And I'm like, I just watched Don't Call Me Bigfoot documentary. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I forget the guy's name who made the documentary. Alex Mastretta's in the doc, as long as Matt Squatch. I think Nick Redfern makes a little appearance, and then a woman makes an appearance, but they're only in it like a few times. It's mostly Alex and Matt Squatch. And, you know, worth a watch for sure. I YouTube Bigfoot and the occult. And, you know, if you can't count on YouTube to bring you up like some content about that, I don't know what. I mean, there are so many Bigfoot videos and Bigfoot type related things with Bigfoot in the name on YouTube. That's probably why it's so difficult. Could not find anything. And that was just a very haphazard, lazy search. So I'm going to continue doing that research. I'm going to have to go through the FBI files that they released from the FBI archive about Bigfoot and see if I can't find any kind of reference to the occult, et cetera, inside those files. We'll see. I'm looking for a connection to Bigfoot and the occult. And I mean, there's the obvious hidden, right? But, you know, I'm talking about something a little deeper. Maybe some old writings. And I know there are people out there, and, you know, so I don't want to be mistaken when I'm talking about this. There are people out there who are using consciousness, meditation, paranormal abilities, psychics, telekinesis, etc., to communicate with Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Oma, etc. So I'm not trying to disregard that. I'm talking about information that is on the internet, that is maybe even published in journals or something like that, or books. I mean, there's Quantum Bigfoot by Ron Moorhead, which I read, but that's more about quantum physics in the Bible and Bigfoot than it is the occult. Now, if there's an occult Ron Moorhead out there, which I think we know a few of them. Yeah, I got to talk to you. You know what? You know who would know this? John Tinney. John Tinney would probably be a good person just to ask this question to right now. So maybe we'll get him back on the program, even though he was just here a few weeks ago. You know, can you push your friends to do your show that much before they just start saying, okay, come on, am I co-hosting your show now? So that's where we're at. The bridge is ongoing. The bridge is going to be outside. It's going to be inside. It's going to be everywhere. And it's going to release when the stand-up comedy special that we filmed releases, which I believe is tentatively called The Supernatural. So keep an eye out for that as well. Obviously, I'll be posting like about it like crazy when that happens, trying to promote it and trying to get people to watch it and either download the audio or whatever else. Because we need to get this out there. I'm really proud of it. And so culmination of my career up to this point is inside that filmed hour plus of stand-up comedy that we edited down to that almost an hour and a half down to just over an hour. So I know you're going to enjoy it, and I'm very proud of it, and I'm excited for when it comes out. Don't forget to download Crystallize if you haven't yet. Crystallize.app/download will take you to the download pages for iTunes or Google. Please write a 5-star review. If you write a 5-star review, email me the screenshot or send me the screenshot, right, with an email address. Like if you send it to me on Instagram, include your email address so we can enter you in the raffle. We're giving away stuff. We had our first winner announced last week, so we're going to be doing more raffles and more giveaways. We're also going to be doing other giveaways associated with features and functions that are inside the app. So we're very proud of it. We're already working on 200 more crystals as we speak. We've got the sift process happening. We've got the crystals collected, the photos collected. Now we're going through all of the photos to make sure there's not really bad photos in there that will throw off the AI. So we're going to have close to 200 more crystals in the identification brain sometime very, very soon. We've got an exciting partnership that we're going to be announcing sometime soon as well that will, hint, hint, give you access to ethically sourced crystals. So that is exciting. That is exciting. I said fuck so many times already, and I stopped myself from saying it. That's exciting because that is one of the big visions of the app itself, connecting consumers in a conscious way to their crystals. And part of that means connecting them to people who are selling, without a doubt, ethically sourced crystals. None of this trusted sources stuff, which is the nature of the business, but at the same time, you can feel good about feeling good when you purchase crystals. Coming soon. That's coming very soon as well. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Please click subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. Like this video. Share it. And also, as always, hit me up in the comments or through email or through social media. If you've got tips, if you've got information, are there other aliens out there that want to talk? We have had Oscar on here, I think, a couple times. So we should do that again because Oscar said something. Oscar is like an intelligence that is, you know, channeled through Jessica. You can go back and listen to those episodes, those interviews. But like, I was struggling with the paranormal world needing scientific validation. And I was saying that I sense that there's something else. We have to come up with our own system of validation. And it's probably something that's been around already or something. And then Oscar specifically told me, yes, and it's very old. And yes, that's it. And now here we are talking about consciousness in the occult and the way it relates to the paranormal world. How am I just now talking about this out loud? We got to do that again. Oscar, if you're listening, and I know you can listen to everything anywhere, we're going to do an experiment right now. I'm recording this on Thursday. This is coming out Friday, the day after. We're sending out a message to Oscar right now. If you're listening to this, join me in sending out that message to Oscar. And I 100% already know that I'm going to be receiving a message from Jessica. We'll see how long it takes. Or maybe I'll just send a message. This is like the most complicated way to leave someone a voicemail. What I'm doing right now, it is utterly ridiculous, and I understand that, but hey, we like doing fun experiments over here, whether it's like trying to do, you know, spontaneous paranormal experiences or things like that. That's gonna happen, but I mean, don't you see it's all connected? Isn't that fucking beautiful? Whew. Okay, I'm wrapping my brain around that one right now. I love you. I hope you love yourself. You damn well should. If you don't, you're deserving of it. I don't have to tell you that. I'm working on loving myself every day. It's not like it's just a light switch you switch on. Okay? So we all are deserving of such unconditional love. And remember, the paranormal is for everybody, and there's room for anybody. Okay? These aren't finite resources we're dealing with. Collaboration is key to the future being bright. And I love it. And it takes all kinds, I suppose. I mean, within reason, right? Let's not go crazy here. Within reason. You know what I'm saying here when I say that. So, yeah, crystallize.app /download. Patreon.com/Ryan Singer. I'm telling you what, there's some fun stuff going on over at the Patreon page. Would love to have you over there. The support goes a long way in helping me do investigations, buy new equipment, etc. Pay people to help. All that good stuff. Keep the lights on around here so I don't have to do candlelit. This fucking closet with the Ouija board is just open this whole time. Do you think it was listening? Oh, by the way, I think spheres are sentient. Well, spheres, portals. I think portals are sentient now. That's been like my latest, like, you know what? I think it's probably real, man. I bet portals are sentient, man. I bet they're like, whoa, dude, I think portals are sentient too. Yeah, man, I think they're sentient. Portals are sentient beings, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, I knew you're like my uncle, aren't you? Yeah, that's right, Todd. I'm your uncle. I'm your Uncle Bill. Portals are sentient, aren't they, Todd? Yeah, man. Portals are sentient.
I got tour dates. RyanSingerComedy.com/tour. See you at a live show. If not, I'll see you at the watering hole on the astral plane.
That's right, man. That's right.